Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
How's it, guys?
Morning, Russell.
Hey there.
How are you guys doing?
Good, dude. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Nice.
I'm well rested.
Why?
Very nice.
Why so good?
Ugh, I'll get into it. I'll tell you all about the weekend. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for popping in to our beautiful video store. It's very early, so it's a bit quiet. Mm-hmm. But that's nice because that's when we get to talk a lot of cuck.
Yeah.
I am joined by Graham G-Force Hackney.
Hello.
Who is an editor. We're not working a shift at the video store.
Yes.
Also the producer of our show. Mm. We've got ourselves a Cole Kolsky Matthews.
Nice.
Hey.
Cole Kolsky.
And you are a creative copywriter.
Yeah.
You've also done loads of things. Editors and directing and
bassing and
playing bass. Yes.
Yes.
My name is Russell. I am the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg.
And also a bassist.
Yeah,
a really cool band.
Slap it to bass.
Slap it to bass.
I still find that one of the funniest scenes in I Love You Man. I still like cry laugh every time I hear it. Slap it to bass.
I hate it so much.
Oh, I love it.
No, I hate it because of what it's done to me. If a friend comes to watch me in a show,
yeah,
it takes like 2 seconds for me to walk into a foyer for someone to be like, slamming the bass!
Slapping the bass!
Like I didn't slap once in that show.
Yeah. We had ourselves a lovely week and weekend. Mm. I want to give a special shout out to our friends from The Universe on Stage.
Nice.
Who very successfully sold most, if not almost all, of the Joburg Theatre this past weekend.
Fuck yeah.
Sick.
And I took great joy in coming out on stage and introducing them.
Nice.
It was very nice of them to ask me to do that.
Mm.
And I have to say, walking out and being backstage of the Civic Theatre, which then became the Joburg Theatre,
yes,
meant quite a lot to me. Because I'm one of those kids that had a part of my personality formed by that room.
Right.
Mm. I don't know whether you were the same. Watching shows like the Buddy Holly show,
right?
Watching a lot of the pantomimes, watching a lot of productions.
Yeah.
Yes,
We Will Rock You and all those things, and me going like, that's what I want to do.
Mm.
So it was very cool to go backstage and see the change rooms and like,
right,
realize that only once you're standing backstage you realize how fucking huge that building is.
Right.
Not just the room that you're in.
Yes.
But behind the stage, to the left, to the right of backstage, are massive cavernous spaces that obviously have these, and up high, because the fly bars have got to, you've got to basically have this equivalent of the stage area above the stage. So it was very cool to do.
Yeah.
And it was great to obviously kind of give The Bioscope a bit of a shout out.
Yes.
To kind of mention that The Bioscope was a part of building that show.
Nice.
And then myself and Graham, we had ourselves a little mandate yesterday. We went and watched The Wild Robot together. P-Dog was going to join us, but he couldn't at the last minute, which is a pity.
Mm.
But myself and G watched a beautiful animation, which we want to talk about. I want to talk about Bad Monkey, which is the new Apple TV Plus show with Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
It's a Bill Lawrence production.
Cool.
Anyone else got big things to talk about?
Ah, Shogun.
Shogun. Okay, we want to talk about Shogun because the Emmys were last night.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we'll get into that.
Cool.
But first, let's get into a little Hey Did You Guys See?
Cool.
All right. Hey Did You Guys See that there is a Trey Parker, Matt Stone, this is the guys behind South Park,
yes,
live action film that's going to come out that's going to star Kendrick Lamar.
Wow.
That's a crazy statement.
Right?
Okay. July next year.
Good grief.
Hey.
That sounds fucking fantastic.
They haven't done an incredible amount of live action. They've played a little more, obviously, in animation. That seems to be the comfort zone.
Yeah.
They obviously, I love these dudes because when they put together something like, let's just do a musical, they win a Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
With Book of Mormon. So whatever they do really well. So I'd imagine Their early films weren't that great. There was like
Basketball.
Basketball.
I was about to look up if that was them.
Yeah, yeah. But I think this could be amazing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, and they're working with like one of the most prominent artists in the world.
Yeah.
Like an award-winning rap artist.
One little interesting fact about Trey Parker and Matt Stone is that they obviously collected the same amount of money throughout their career because they've worked together as partners. But the one, I forget which one it is, I think it's Matt Stone, is significantly wealthier.
Why?
And it just shows, ladies and gentlemen, that you got to look after your investments. So I find that interesting.
That
like
is
with
funny.
Clever choices, the one is like significantly more wealthier than the other.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, I got a threefer.
Whoa.
Three in one. They're all tangentially related.
Jesus,
so hey, did you guys see the trailer for Minecraft? Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog? And hey, did you guys see the trailer for Arcane Season 2?
I saw all of the above, yes.
No, I haven't seen any of it. No, and I've seen the Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, it played yesterday when we were watching The Wild Robots. They're all video game adaptations.
Yes. Okay, I see.
Yes.
Do you want me to give you my like high-level summary reaction
for that?
So, Minecraft trailer.
Wow.
Sonic 3 trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Arcane trailer. Yeah.
What is Arcane? Sorry, that's the most unknown.
Oh, shit. No, that's the amazing animated series that came out like 2 years ago or something.
It's longer than that. It's been
no
a while.
No ways, dude.
Yeah.
I know. Because
it takes so long to make.
I remember when they announced it, we were all like, oh my God, we're going to have to wait so long for the second season.
It's an animated series on Netflix
called Arcane.
Arcane, yeah.
Yeah, and it's based on a game called League of Legends.
Oh, that I know.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, based in very loose terms. Because I don't think League of Legends has a story to the game.
I know, but they made like all those cinematics and offshoot stories that they're based on,
League
I'm guessing.
League of Legends is like a sort of canvas that you then go on and fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like you sort of start at the one end, the other guy start on the other end.
Yeah, and there's three lanes and there are champions per lane.
It's a MOBA.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Massive online battle arena.
Yeah, it's like a big arena.
Yeah. It's a game I've never played, but that show is incredible.
But League of Legends, I know, is one of those big arena shows. Like
selling out stadiums.
Yeah, they sell out stadiums and for people to watch them. And and the people who win those like big League of Legends championships make more money than a FIFA World Cup winner.
Jeez.
Like, I know that fact, and I don't even know the game.
Wild.
Fucking hell.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Minecraft, do we need to talk
what
about?
What a mess.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing.
It's fucking insane.
I don't know what
it looks. It looks stupid. It doesn't make sense.
It's got Jack Black. It's got Jason Momoa.
But it's got live-action people in it. That's the real problem.
Yeah, why are you doing this?
Well, no, the real problem is that it exists in the first place. There's no need to make a Minecraft
movie. No.
It makes no sense.
It's like a SimCity thing, right? You kind of build...
They do have a story mode, but I don't know if there's a story there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. You know?
There's like an end that you can get to, but it's not like a narrative.
We were talking about this, like how do you see Illumination make the Super Mario Brothers?
Yes.
And that's $1 billion grossing movie, right? So how do you see that as a game studio and be like, we're going to make a live action movie of like one of the most successful games of all time.
And make it look like it was filmed in a cupboard.
Yes. Nothing about it looks good. Wait until you see Jason Momoa's wig.
Yes.
Ma, I'm shooting my movie. Fuck.
Bill Gates.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonic looks like fun. It looks like the same as the other two, which are not bad movies.
They're not
like
bad
fun,
movies at all.
Lighthearted.
It's Jim Carrey being amazing. Everyone was talking about Jim Carrey talking about resigning from acting.
Yes.
And something very, very special is going to have to come along to bring him out of retirement. Yeah. It was Sonic 3.
Yes, playing two characters in Sonic 3.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like fun.
Hey, did you guys see that Gary Oldman is going to be playing Dumbledore in HBO's Harry Potter reboot series?
That's confusing.
It is very confusing.
He already has a connection to the franchise.
Exactly.
He was the prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sirius Black.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wild.
Okay. Yeah, when is that TV show coming?
I would imagine a while. I mean, I think it was just announced this week that they put out like a casting call in the UK for like young actors.
Yes.
So they're clearly going for unknowns, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
And what are they doing that all the movies haven't already done?
I guess because it's a series, they're going to just be able to put more of the books in it.
Okay. But are they going to start again from the beginning?
As far as I know, it's a complete reboot, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like it's been done and there are people like... Obviously, the discord around J.K. Rowling, whatever, is going to have an impact on it.
Oh, 100%. Like, Joanne. We call her Joanne.
And she, you know that It would be more interesting if she wasn't involved at all.
Yes.
Because then you could like do things that are interesting, but you know she's 100% going to be behind it and be very heavily involved. The way she was with the Magical Animals movies, and those were terrible. So.
Yes, exactly.
The Magical
Animals. Her and her very tactfully naming of characters.
Yes.
Well,
like she calls the only black guy in the series Shacklebolt.
Yes.
And you're like, ooh, JK, what are you doing, bro?
The only Asian character, Cho Chang. Who's it? That actress is in Arcane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. She's the snappy word.
Fucking and happy also, for her, because I always thought that she committed suicide at the end of the Order of the Phoenix or Goblet of Fire, because, I can't remember. Oh, she betrays the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, sort of.
To Umbridge.
Yes.
And then they forget about it for the rest of the movie. Children. And then the last note they leave her on is everyone walks past her.
Yes.
Like, fuck you, Cho Chang. Yeah. I was like, dude, what's going to happen to Cho?
I don't remember any of this. Yeah. I jumped on that train for the first two or three. Mm. And then I jumped off.
Yes.
And then much later in life was like, I need to watch all of the Harry Potter movies.
I did the same thing.
I did one wash.
Yeah, I did exactly the same thing.
So I watched them all once. So the memory of Cho Chang is lost to me. I don't remember who that was.
I watched the first one. I was like, that wasn't good. And then I watched the second one. I was like, that wasn't good. And then I was like, two movies into your franchise aren't good. You've lost me. I'm not watching any others.
Yes.
And then I watched them all in lockdown.
Okay.
So it was like 20 years later.
Yeah. I enjoyed going to the Wizarding World in Osaka. In the Universal Studios in Osaka.
Oh, nice.
So it was very cool watching like a Japanese Harry Potter.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Like he was quite charismatic. Okay. Should we do another one?
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Will and Harper, which is a very interesting movie that is coming to Netflix at the end of September?
I did not.
No.
Do you know about this? Okay. So the Will in Will and Harper is Will Ferrell.
Oh.
Okay. The Harper... is a very interesting person, Harper Steele, who, and perhaps I need your guidance on this.
Mm-hmm.
She is a recently transitioned person and spent the majority of her life as Andrew Steele.
Right.
Okay.
Who was a writer on SNL and did a bunch of things. Okay, and there was a relationship that Will Ferrell had.
Yes.
With this person, and then received this message that she is now she.
Yes.
And they've made this incredible road trip movie, which I think just looks so beautiful that it's a documentary, but it's filmed in such a way that it feels almost like a narrative. It's very cinematic.
Right.
And I just think it's going to be one of these special documents that I think is going to help everyone, or more than most, understand the trance experience.
Right.
Right.
Because it's done through the eyes of Will Ferrell as he tries to understand what's...
Like a close friend.
You know, what are the feelings and what is the story of his friend?
Yes.
Whoa, that sounds really interesting.
It looks... Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those really important ones.
And also road tripping across America. Like, what are they going to find in people?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some folks will... you know, be bang on with their prejudices and misconceptions, and I think some will surprise you.
Yeah. Mm.
But I just think it's one of those, like, this is going to be a little gem. It just feels like it. It just feels like it's going to be important.
Mm.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for The Apprentice?
Oh, this is the Donald Trump biopic.
Yes, with Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
Mm. It looks interesting.
He's too handsome.
Right?
Because Donald Trump's not a handsome guy. No. Even younger Donald Trump is not handsome.
Yes. But it looks interesting.
He would disagree with you. I was the most handsome.
Oh, yeah.
The most beautiful.
Definitely.
Sorry, just a tiny little tangent. Did he get an attempted assassination again?
Yeah, on his golf course.
Recently, this last weekend.
Okay. Yeah. I'd heard something about that, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I kind of get every time it doesn't happen.
Oh, shit.
Personally.
It looks interesting.
It does look interesting.
It's set over the time, not of the TV show Apprentice. Hey?
No. He's the apprentice in this case.
Yeah.
Sort of about his relationship with his mentor. And it's about him like kind of coming up in real estate and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so set in the 70s in New York.
Mm. Yeah. But it looks interesting. Because it's not clearly not like... directly vilifying him, but it's also not pulling any punches.
Yeah, cool. You know, okay.
It looks, yeah.
Yeah, it was a sort of Cannes darling earlier this year. Yeah. I think it screened there.
I don't know how it was received, but yeah.
Well, Sebastian Stan, eh? You can be the drummer of Motley Crue and you can be Donald Trump. Versatile.
There you go.
Anyone else? I got one last one. Hey, did you guys see there is a interesting little update that's coming to Apple iOS?
Okay.
Like, literally this week. I think it on Monday.
Yes.
Is a part of the new update.
Okay.
It is called Vehicle Motion Cues. Have you heard about this?
No.
Now,
that's a terrible name. It's not very pithy.
What it is it's a little assistance that can pick up when you're in a car.
Okay.
And it can do this little scientific, tiny little adjustment that'll make sure you don't get motion sick looking down at your phone.
Oh.
I mentioned this. Oh, I mentioned the fact that I'm horribly motion sick in many an episode. Most recently, the one when we were talking about the yachting reality TV show, where I said I'd pay that much money to not do the TV show. So apparently, all it is these little dots that are on the sides of your screen that will wiggle along with the motion of the car. And that, just those little dots wiggling in motion, is enough to trick your brain to not be motion sick.
Interesting.
So
cool.
I just think that's interesting.
Yeah.
I know it's not film and TV related, but it's like, it's something that's happening right now this week.
Yes.
And it means the world to someone like myself.
Yeah.
Who cannot look down on
phone. Can't read while in a car.
No,
it'll kill me.
I mean, like, you do it for more practical, logical reasons, right? Like, I'm not going to distract myself from the road.
Like, well, I'm thinking about while being a passenger.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not while I'm driving.
Okay, good. I was wondering.
I always think it's amazingly convenient when I'm in an Uber that I'm like, I feel like I can now work. I can do stuff, because I hate driving going like, if only I could just send a message.
Yeah.
If only I could just answer that email.
I wonder if that would work on like a bigger screen, like a laptop as well.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get into movies?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about our mandate.
Oh, yes.
myself and Graham went to watch The Wild Robot.
Yes.
Which in the week that this episode is coming out, it is arriving this Friday.
Yes.
So the 20th of September in cinemas around the world. I saw this coming a while away.
Mm, you brought it up a while ago.
And it just hit a little chord with me. I'm obviously looking at these releases as they come out, and I'm deciding as a cinema whether or not they're going to be a Bioscope movie or not.
Yes.
It's a little tricky to decide that for kids' stuff.
Mm.
And it's quite hard to determine what I should take and what I shouldn't take. Because in a way, almost every kids' movie does well.
Right.
Because I think all parents
understand like rush to the cinema.
They kind of don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But for me, I would love to always be a cinema that champions the movies that deserve to be screened.
Yes.
Like, I fucking could not bring myself to even finish Garfield in the exhibition screening. I was like, I know this is not going to be a Bioscope movie, and I like didn't even finish watching it.
Okay, fair.
And it was number one for many weeks in South Africa, but that's another story. A movie like Inside Out 2 is just like a beautiful, smart movie that just helps things like early childhood development. It helps grow the right morals and values, and perhaps that's where I'm at.
Okay,
you know, where something like Despicable Me 4, with zero disrespect, is just a fucking schlucky action movie with kids for kids with, you know, lots of blasting and.
It's like our Inspector Gadget. That's the way I like to think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Completely forgot about that movie now.
And
I hope the same happens to these children.
And so, watching the trailer for Wild Robot, I could see that it just had something else to it.
Yeah.
Then I started talking to the distributors about it, and I was saying, what's it like? What's it going to be like? What do you think?
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to hear how they approach it.
Mm.
And they were a little cautious, because they said something like, there's no talking for the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
This is a few months ago.
Yes.
And this is why I'm bringing it up, because it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I said, but it looks like it's Wall-E meets the Iron Giant.
Yes.
And so I said, that makes sense that no one talks for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because nobody spoke in the first 20 minutes of Wall-E, but it's a classic.
Mm.
So what it is it's based on a book, a series of books by a guy called Peter Brown.
Yeah.
And it is about a robot that crash lands and is stranded on an island.
Yeah.
So there's no other humans. We also don't really know where we are in the future, but obviously with such an advanced robot, we're obviously somewhere in the future. Mm. And this robot doesn't know why it's there, where it is, what it has to do. All it knows is that it completes tasks. Yeah. It's a task-completing robot, but it's surrounded by wild animals.
Yeah.
And as we could tell from the trailer, it has an encounter with a newly hatched gosling, mm. and this gosling imprints itself on the robot.
Yes.
And this, thinks this robot's now its mom.
A baby yes. goose, not Ryan.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
And,
I would love a gosling to imprint on me.
Yeah. Oh, God. And so the majority of the movie is now this robot raising this yes. this little duck.
Yeah.
And teaching it how to fly so yeah. that it can migrate.
Exactly.
Very heartwarming, very beautiful.
Yeah.
Very special. Then on Sunday, we now go and watch it.
Mm.
I find it interesting then that there is quite a lot of talking in the first 20 minutes.
Yes.
So they obviously changed that.
Yeah, they must have.
They must have tried to give it a bit more zest, a bit more context, a bit
yeah.
more thing. But you made an interesting comment in your Letterboxd review.
I think they may have gone overboard.
It went a bit too fast.
Early on, it feels like relentless. The first like 15, 20 minutes of the movie, I was just thinking, please slow down.
Yeah.
Please just like pump the brakes. Thankfully, it does, and it like finds its footing.
So it actually might have been better if we just had a bit of moment where this thing was trying to figure itself out.
Yes.
Trying to realize where it is. So I went and bought the book.
Oh,
and
nice.
I started reading
cool.
it.
Okay.
It's a very easy read.
Okay.
I was going to buy you that for your birthday. Well, I was like, this is something Russell would read.
Well, it's for kids.
Okay, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're going to read it.
So it's in the 7 to 13
okay.
Banner in an exclusive books.
Okay, cool.
And then I found it interesting that the distributor then came back and said there is an age restriction on this movie.
Mm.
It's PG 7 to 9.
Okay.
Which basically means no one below 7. Yeah. And between 7 and 9, a parent might be helpful to
yes.
guide you through this.
Yeah.
So for those just, yeah, very simply, this is a movie for primary school kids.
Mm.
I think it's perfect. I think anyone older will obviously still enjoy it. It's got lots
yeah.
to it. But it's geared at primary school. So anyone below
yes.
primary school, I think you're going to find it a bit scary because
mm.
there is a lot of jokes and talk about death.
There's like an unusual ratio of death jokes in this movie.
But
wild.
But Cole, it's so funny because it just reminds you that it is a wild island and nature
yeah.
is wild. Everything eats everything.
Yes.
So, you know, there's this great joke about the possum mother who's voiced by
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah. And she's like, I've got 8 kids. And you just hear like,
yes.
she's like, 7.
Yeah.
So that part's fun. The voice of the robot is Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, I wouldn't have called that at all.
And she's got
it's
such
really
a
good.
Beautiful voice. Mm. And I listened to this incredible podcast interview with her and Marc Maron on WTF. It's very
okay.
much worth a listen.
Cool.
Because she's got an incredible life story.
Mm.
And such a beautiful, elegant voice. So
yes.
she was perfect as this robot.
Yeah.
And the whole point of the movie, well, one of the lovely charms is that it starts as a very robotic robot.
Yeah.
But it reprograms itself to fulfill its task. And so it becomes a lovely commentary on how ignorant we are as parents.
Mm.
Where it's like, we don't know what to do. And this robot's
yes.
going, I don't know what to do. And then realizing it's got to change its programming. It's got to bend the rules, or it's got to tell a white lie, or it's
yeah.
got to do all these things to be a parent. So
mm.
it's a lovely commentary on that.
Yeah.
There's a tiny little nod to like the immigrant story
yeah.
because she is this robot that's very well-meaning, but to the animals of this island, she's the monster and she's evil
mm.
and she just wants to kill
because yeah.
it's out of ignorance. They don't know what this robot's doing. So it's a nice little,
yeah.
nice little poke at like, you know, our feelings towards immigrants.
Yes.
Amazing.
And then this heartwarming kind of coming together, It's beautiful.
Yeah,
and
it is a cute little movie.
But here is the clincher. It is fucking beautiful looking.
Mm,
really
pretty.
Okay, so it's DreamWorks Animation.
Oh, I like DreamWorks.
And it's not doing the super clean cut Pixar,
crisp Pixar, yeah.
Pixar look that we know. We've started seeing recently a lovely play with animation where movies like Into the Spider-Verse just did it so well in the Spider-Verse movies.
Ninja Turtles
did it to a very punk rock extent, yeah, where the paintbrush is more jagged, it's more paintbrushy.
Yeah.
And this one is more like watercolory beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's different in that sense.
It's less like Spider-Verse, where Spider-Verse feels like they've like drawn on top of 3D animation. This feels like all the texture work feels like painted in 2D. Okay. It looks a lot like The Last Wish. That kind of look.
Yes.
What's The Last Wish?
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Oh, the sequel.
Incredible. I've brought this up a few times. It is a
five-star animation. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That is also DreamWorks.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So we know the Puss in Boots... Antonio Banderas character. Mm-hmm. He came out of Shrek, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then he got his own movie, and is this the second?
Like 12 years after the first Puss in Boots movie, they bring out a sequel to a movie that is a spin-off of an irrelevant franchise that is like perfect.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I mean, I wouldn't call Shrek irrelevant. That's just grossly ignorant.
No, how is it relevant?
Shrek is so popular, outside of
memes, how is it relevant?
It's relevant because it's in memes.
Yeah,
it's
but like memes are meaningless. Culture.
It's like people talk about it still.
Yeah, but they talk about it as a meme. They don't talk about it as a movie.
They do talk about it as a movie. This is all over Threads.
Well, Threads is a garbage platform. No, it's not.
All the critics are on Threads, bro.
Okay, calm down, boys. But yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. As you said, it perhaps doesn't shoot all the lights out.
Yeah.
I perhaps overhyped it a bit in my head.
All right.
But I still felt... all the pangs and all the heartfelt moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's solid. It is a solid, solid, beautiful movie.
Yes.
And just by virtue of all these sort of lovely little themes and just great characters, the fox is voiced by Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
Halfway through the movie, I'm like, Graham, who's the voice of this? And he's like, I don't know.
At first, I thought it was Jason Bateman. I'm like, surely not. Yeah. Jason Bateman was the fox in Zootopia. So I was like, surely not the fox again. Yeah. But it sounded like him at first.
And at the end, we were like, it's Pedro Pascal. And the big bear.
It's Puppy Mark Pedro.
Hamill. The big bear was Mark Hamill. Yes. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So he's a great voice actor.
Oh, he's incredible. I love
There were some really like genuine funny moments. Mm. You know, the funny moments for the parents.
Yeah.
But it was sharp. It was quick. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend The Wild Robot enough, especially because it is screening at the bioscope.
Yes.
So I saw it coming. As I said, I pushed for it. And so tickets are on sale for that.
It's also sort of the last real DreamWorks animated movie.
What do you mean?
Well, because DreamWorks has fired almost all their animators.
Like, okay.
So from now on, all their animated films are going to be primarily outsourced to animation studios in China and India.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they are, we spoke about this, there's going to be a live action How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes.
Which will still need some sense of animating, but
it'll probably come from it'll probably come from a visual effects studio. And this was also from one of the two directors of the original How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, this was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it had two directors. One of them then directed the two sequels and is also directing the live-action adaptation.
And the other one did this one?
Yeah. He also did Lilo and Stitch.
Okay.
And is the voice of Stitch.
Oh. Yeah. It's one of those, like, if no one can do it, I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I've got this in my head.
It's like Brad Bird in The Incredibles.
Edna.
Edna Mode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice fact.
Yes.
And then, what's the villain's name in Incredibles?
In the first one.
Yeah.
Syndrome.
That looks like Brad Bird.
Yes, there's always a character that looks like Brad Bird in his movies.
Because he's just the weirdest looking guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He did Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which very much plays into this.
Yeah.
There is undoubtedly a nod to Iron Giant.
Iron Giant, E.T.
It's set in the woods and it's set, you know, and you just see these like beautiful trees and sunsets.
Yes.
Oh, fuck, it's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Cole, what did you watch over the weekend, movie-wise?
Started it off Friday night with The Mummy and The Mummy 2.
Nice.
My brother was watching it. I was like, fuck yeah, I've been wanting to watch this forever. And I only came in halfway through The Mummy because Graham and I were playing Destiny 2. And then I came back in to watch The Mummy and it was fucking hilarious.
The 1999 cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean,
real lightning in a bottle of a movie.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's like fun, and it's like a great era to be a kid.
Yes.
To be entertained by action adventure that's live action, that feels like it's a kid's movie, but it's family entertainment.
And it's a little bit of a horror movie, but it's not really that scary.
Exactly.
It's
like it was scary. Yeah. Like the scarabs, dude.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
When they crawl up the guy's body.
Yeah. Under his skin. And then he's in the room when the light's going off and all the scarabs are coming around him, and you're like, fuck, you're fucked, dude. But then, The Mummy 2.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy movie.
It's just The Mummy, but more. It's like the same movie, but with more steps.
Yes.
It's like the exact same plot.
Exact same plot.
Yeah.
There's even a plane.
Yes.
There's a giant waterfall face that eats them.
Of a sand face.
Yeah.
There's little pygmies instead of scarabs. It's like all the same beats.
No, bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
But The Rock as a scorpion is still.
First movie.
Yeah, his first movie. Yeah. And it's bad acting.
Yeah.
He's doing his like rock scowl. He's doing his scowl the whole time at the beginning. Like, he looks up into the sun, like.
And then he eats a real goopy scorpion.
Yes.
But it's not really even him, right? Wasn't he so CGI?
Well, it's him, like, right at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, you do see him.
Yeah.
It's like a action. Prologue.
That's in the behind the scenes.
But when he's the actual scorpion prologue? Monster, there was no rock harmed in the making of it. It was such horrible CGI.
Yeah, apparently it was a case of, like, the VFX studio. Like putting down tools because they or like tried to make it, but they couldn't get an extension on the release date.
Yeah, because literally, like famously, the story is the morning of The Mummy coming out, the studio phoned Stephen Sommers and was like, "We want a sequel because it was such a hit."
Nuts.
And they were like, "We want it in 2 years." It just clearly wasn't enough time.
No.
And and just to create those CGI characters needed far more time.
Exactly,
at that moment in history.
Yes. Yeah. There have been like attempts to like sort of fix it. Corridor Digital did a video where they deep faked it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it looks better, but.
No.
And then here's the question, a little bit like Star Wars, is like, do you just leave it?
Yeah.
And because that's what we had at the time and that's the movie? Or do you re-release it with better digital effects so that it can live better? It's a really interesting
one. I think there's a charm to its crappiness, especially now since it's like become such a thing of like this is the worst visual effect of all time.
Exactly.
Which probably isn't true, but
speaking of like, Shrek, when you watch Shrek now you're like, oh my God,
that's aged.
This looks horrible.
Yeah.
It's like it's my memory is not what like it lives on a lot slicker in my memory than now.
I'm convinced Shrek 2 is the reason Shrek as a franchise has such a positive connotation. The first movie's so average.
Mm. That's because we're all eight and we can quote it from start to finish.
But Shrek 2 is like genuinely incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Such a good movie.
Ah, that's a nice boulder.
That's a nice boulder.
But Shrek 2 is better in every possible way. It's a great movie.
There was another movie that you said you watched over the weekend.
I had a free night last night. And I like often spend my evenings playing Destiny 2 with Graham because it's a vibe.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I've got a free evening. Maybe I should just like chill as hard as I possibly can. So in my happy place there, I usually take an edible from a little shop called Next Level in Mulville.
Okay.
It's those little 100. Yeah. Go. You guys know where to go. And they sell these like little 100 rand tasteless like candies that are pure THC.
Yeah.
It's 100 milligrams. Which apparently isn't a lot because I'm a lightweight, whatever. And I love watching bad blockbusters.
Mm.
But like sometimes they're good bad.
Yes.
Like this happens often, right? Like fun bad.
Yes.
It's like a really cool niche of movies.
Yeah.
And you can have a fucking great time watching fun bad movies. And I decided to watch The Meg 2 because The Meg 1 was average and I was hoping they'd learned their lesson in order to like ham on it harder.
Yes.
Like ham
it up harder. It took itself way too seriously.
Yeah. And it was just shit.
Yeah.
And then I was high and then it was long and then I was just sitting here being like, fuck, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
I mean like the CG shark action scenes are cool because I'm all here for like kaiju monster movies and monster munching movies. Because
that's what it becomes. It ends up being exactly what the first one is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it hits this populated beach and it turns into this massacre big ass fight on the beach.
Yeah, but then as soon as like people with words are involved, it's like pathetically like it's pathetically distracted, like schizophrenic movie where it's like, what are these people? Are they comedic reliefs?
Yes.
From like the 90s? Are you a child director making this movie?
Yeah. It feels weirdly slapstick, especially in the second half. Did you feel at the end of that movie, did you go, did I miss the climax? I felt like at the end of the movie, I was waiting for the climax to happen. Yes. I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, it's
like,
done.
It doesn't have a climax.
No.
It's so weird.
Because you have three Megs that you have to kill.
Yeah, three of them. It should have been called the Megs.
Yeah, the plural.
The Megs. Now there's three of the Megs. Look out.
But I have a nice personal relationship with each of those movies, with each of you two.
Oh, yes.
The first Meg movie was our first mandate.
Yeah, Cole, it was.
You and me.
We were barely friends.
We were barely friends, but I was like, I'll be your movie buddy.
Yeah.
Because I recognized quite early on in meeting you and chatting to you, because you approached me for something.
It was Steve. It was like,
yeah, well, it was an idea that you and someone had.
Oh, yes. Ian and I wanted to do Martin Scorsese's film restorations at the Bioscope.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And so we got to know each other, and I was like, hey, this guy's a cool guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, he really loves movies. Yes. I really love movies. And it was at that point in my life where I was like, I need more friends. I knew so many people, and especially with the band, you get to know so many people, but there's not many that you could phone up and be like, hey, let's go watch a movie together. So one of the first movies we then watched together was The Meg.
All right.
Which was, I thought, delightfully silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun when we watched it together.
Lovely.
Just one other, I have a recommendation. Next time you're like, I want to do this and watch a dumb movie, watch Deep Rising.
Deep Rising?
Deep Rising. It's Steven Sommers' other good movie. It's the only other good movie he's ever made.
Okay, amazing.
Steven Sommers, the same guy did The Mummy.
Okay. And Harry Potter 1 and 2.
Deep Rising?
No, Chris Columbus.
Yeah.
Sorry, getting confused.
Steven Sommers did Van Helsing.
Oh, Van Helsing was fucking great.
It's garbage, but it's kind of a jam.
But I was also 8.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
It's kind of a jam, though. But Deep Rising is a good time if you want a schlocky, stupid movie.
Yes.
Okay, over onto TV, Bad Monkey.
Yes, tell me about Bad Monkey. It's I saw the trailer, but I don't know really anything about
it. Yeah, so it's Vince Vaughn plays a police detective in Florida, good old fucking Florida, which is like the sort of East Rand of America, where kind of anything goes, right? There's alligators, there's drug money, there's all sorts. And the movie starts with these guys fishing that fish up like a dead arm.
Right.
And it's a lovely, I think it's going to be a limited series. I don't think they're trying to make seasons upon seasons. So it's you can sort of do it in one batch. They're busy releasing the episodes, but I think we're about 60-70% of the way through at this point. And it's a lovely crime drama. It feels a little bit like a kind of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Okay.
Multiple stories, multiple people involved, and there's a lovely narrator device.
Right.
A little bit like this kind of Big Lebowski, you know, narrator.
Right.
That sort of says, you know, these characters don't know how they're going to, you know, their paths are going to intertwine.
Yes.
And it's cool. It's Vince Vaughn being Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
The writing is sharp because it's Bill Lawrence, who's the guy behind Scrubs,
yes,
Spin City, Cougar Town, and then most recently Shrinking, which was an Apple TV Plus great show that had Harrison Ford and all of them in it. So it's a lovely little comedy mystery,
cool.
A little bit of a how does this all kind of work together? Lots of bad people, lots of good people,
cool.
Nice little buddy moments.
Nice.
All set in the sort of craziness of Florida in Miami.
Cool.
Yeah, so Bad Monkey over on Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
Very nice. I feel like we have to get more into Apple TV series because the other stuff that they released looks really fucking good.
They are without a doubt one of the best streamings if you think like a per capita basis.
Yes.
Like out of the small amount of content that they do create, almost all of it is incredible.
And then,
real prestige TV.
They're not getting a lot of views, so they're shrinking that department.
Yes.
They're like defunding it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I assume it costs a lot of money, what they're doing. Yeah. I really want to watch Slow Horses. It looks really fun.
It is cool. It's we did get going on it. A Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a spy thriller.
Gary Oldman is the spy who's put in charge of the crap spies.
Yeah. It's where the sort of cool. bad spies go.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fun premise.
Let's end on Shogun.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. So this was completely coincidental. I was, after watching The Meg 2 and being like, it was so bad. I want to watch something really good. I remember seeing a recommendation from a critic on Threads that for some reason convinced me to watch Shogun because we've all heard about it for like 2 years, however long it's been out, and seen billboards and everything.
This is a Disney Plus.
Like Japanese
set in
Yeah.
In old, yeah, samurai times.
Yeah, no,
which is a remake of an old series.
It's a remake of a book. Well, it's an adaptation of a book that was then made into a movie.
Okay.
That had
John Rhys-Davies in it.
Yes, that was a film.
Yes. It was a film. I thought it was a series. Okay.
With Toshiro Mifune playing the lead shogun actor character.
Cool. What is the basic premise of the
film? So, so I started watching this, and it turns out to be basically this like court politics drama set in ancient Japan where the, I can't remember what they call them, but basically the feudal leader of Japan dies, but he leaves a child too young to rule. Right. So he gets all the five lords together to create a region council that's going to safeguard the kingdom until his son turns 16.
Okay.
And then he's like old enough to rule.
Okay.
And in the midst of all of this, Hiroyuki Sanada, who won Best Lead Actor last night at the Emmys, is one of these five lords. And the other four lords bring him in. They're like, hey, you're making a lot of allies. You're marrying off a lot of the women in your kingdom, and your fief is growing quite a bit.
Right.
We're concerned. We're very concerned.
Your what's growing quite a bit?
Fief.
Fiefdom.
What is that?
Fiefdom. It's like the size of the kingdom that you rule, basically.
Okay, so
like what you rule over.
We're worried that you're getting too powerful.
Well, you're getting too powerful, dude. You're making us like, and also they are powerful. So it's like a big dick sizing contest. And all these guys are just like, what are you doing? And they're trying to control and they're bureaucrats. And they're basically going to, they invite him to, I think it's Osaka.
Okay.
Where the kingdom is. And it looks beautiful. It looks so good. It's like epic. There's a big budget. There's sets. And I'm like, this is good. It's a period drama. Yes, set in Japan. I'm having a lot of fun. In the midst of all of this, a Dutch trading ship. It's not a trading ship. You think it's a trading ship. Gets marooned in Japan.
That's how the show starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these Dutch, you find out that they're basically like fucking inquisitors of some kind. They're Protestants from England. Like trying to fuck up all the Catholics across the Portuguese colonized world.
Right.
Because they're like, fuck the Catholics. And they come to Japan, and the whole thing is to try find Japan, because I suppose like in the middle of Europe and Southeast Asia, he like shows the shogun this, who doesn't know that outside of Japan, the Portuguese have basically divided up Japan and claimed it as their own, and they're trying to replace and supplant the governments as like a colonial project.
Right.
And so it's like this guy comes in who becomes this pawn in this battle between these five rulers in a way that he is anti-Portuguese, and the Portuguese are trying to gain a foothold in Japan. Right. And they have two Christian like lords that practice the Christian faith. And it's this whole thing of trying to protect him and or kill him. And some people want him alive. Some people want him dead.
How true to history is this?
I have no idea. I haven't researched yet.
Because I know that for as much as two centuries, the Japanese didn't allow anyone to set foot on Japanese soil that wasn't Japanese.
I'm pretty sure that's going to happen after this, if it's true.
So this could have been the precursor of that, because they very famously didn't allow it. When everyone else was trading and marrying each other and allowing, you know, all this, you know, globalization to start for two centuries, they didn't allow it.
Dude.
And they even, there was a famous treaty that they at one point had to sign, and they still didn't allow the person to set foot. They built reed mats on the beach, signed this treaty. He went back onto the boat, and then they burnt the reed mats.
Right.
And it's like, when you go to Japan, you can see it makes sense.
Right.
That it is just so remarkably unique as a place.
Shit.
And they are, they're beautiful, lovely people. Some of my best friends in the world are Japanese, but they don't take kindly to outsiders.
Yeah,
and it might have been because of all of this.
Yeah, when I had a Japanese English teaching English students, she would tell me that about Japanese people reacting to foreigners most on average.
Mm. Right,
they'll be polite to you in person, but. Yeah, they don't. They're not very fond of you.
Kind of secretly don't like you. So they took great advantage of COVID, and they were like, "Nope, nobody coming in. Nobody coming in." Whew. Feels like the old times.
Yeah.
But I think like everything that everyone enjoys about House of Dragon and Game of Thrones, is the set in ancient Japan.
Yeah, there's a reason why everybody loved it. There's a reason why it was nominated for like a record amount of Emmys.
Yeah, I got a crazy number of nominations,
And there were some wins last night.
Mm. Yeah, and it won Best Show, and the two lead actors won.
Okay. Yeah, and I think in the case of the woman, I don't know about the others, but in the case of the woman, she was the first Asian person to ever win an Emmy.
Wild,
right?
That's just, dude,
so it just shows you, like, we think we are overwoke, and we think we're over you know, representation. And you're like, no, there still hasn't been an Asian person who's won an Emmy. Yeah. It happened last night.
Like, for so the just first fucking, time.
Just chill. Calm down. We're still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
She's also in that Godzilla show on
Apple. Oh, Monarch.
Yeah, she's in that as well.
I haven't watched that yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Lovely. Okay, lots to watch, lots to still talk about, but I think we've gotten to the end of our day.
Yes.
Oh, damn. It was a short day.
It was a lovely day. So thank you for listening thus far. Our home base is thevideostore.co.za. Let us know whether there's anything that you've watched. We've got instructions in the description of this episode as to how you can return something you're watching, and we'd love to share it with everyone. But on that note, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for a lovely day. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you guys again next week.
Nice.
Nice, guys.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.